أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وقل جاء الحق وزهق الباطل، إن الباطل كان زهوقا. وننزل من القرآن ما هو شفاء ورحمة للمؤمنين، ولا يزيد الظالمين إلا خسارا. وإذا أنعمنا على الإنسان أعرض ونأى بجانبه، وإذا مسه الشر كان يئوسا. قل كل يعمل على شاكلته، فربكم أعلم بمن هو أهدى سبيلا. ويسألونك عن الروح، قل الروح من أمر ربي وما أوتيتم من العلم إلا قليلا. صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم. Allah Ta'ala makes a mention, verse 81, Surah Al-Isra. وَقُلْ say, جَاءَ الْحَقِّ, the truth has arrived. وَزَهَقَ الْبَاطِلِ, and falsehood has vanished. Batil mit gaya, haq a gaya. Truth has come and batil has vanished. Innal batila kana zahuqa, indeed falsehood was bound to disappear. Hazrat Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu ta'ala reports that when Makkatul Mukarrama was conquered, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam entered Makkatul Mukarrama and broke all the idols in the Ka'batullah. And when he broke all the idols in the Ka'batullah, the message was given that shirk would not be accepted at all. No associating partners with Allah. Allahu Ahad, Allahu Samad. Allah is one, Allah is completely independent. He has no partners. And when Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam broke the idols in the Kaaba, while he was breaking the idols, he was reciting this verse, Ja al-haq wa zahaq al-batil, inna al-batil kana zahuqa. Okay? Subhanallah. So basically Allah is also telling us in this verse of the Qur'an al-Kareem that always batil will disappear. You may go through haq, the people of haq may go through challenges, halat. But just because you're going through halat and challenge, that does not mean to say that you are on false. Every Nabi went through halat. And the people who are more closer to Nabi, they went through halat as well. Ashadun nasi bala'an al-anbiya'u thumma al-amsalu fal-amsal. Also mentioned the hadith, among the people who went through the most severest difficulties were the anbiya. In their mission. And ثُمَّ الْأَمْثَلُ فَالْأَمْثَلُ, then those people who are more closer to the Anbiya in their Iman, in their Amal, in their Taqwa, they also went through the same sort of difficulties as well. Lower than the Anbiya, but they went through those difficulties as well. So when we are on Haq, always remember, we're always going to face difficulties. We are always going to face challenges. But that is a sign that you are on Haq. Any truth. But one thing we should always do, like the Sahaba did as well, never ever compromise the truth, never ever. Because Ja al-Haq, truth will always come. So never compromise it. Don't be in doubt. You stand up for what you believe in, you remain standing, even if it means everyone goes against you. Everyone goes against you. It doesn't matter. No, bhai, I believe this is Haq, this is true. And if we are true and we are genuine and we are sincere, then Allah's help will surely come. And when we go through those challenges at the beginning, it's to, mashallah, elevate our status even more in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Make us even more strong in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So never be scared of the halat, that as long as we know we are on the truth and the haq, it will prevail. Either in our lifetime, alhamdulillah, if not in our lifetime, been after we depart, but what we stood up for the truth and we remain connected with Allah, with taqwa and deen, so even if it's not come in our lifetime, when we depart from this world, at least we depart with haq and truth. And we'll get the reward and the badla of that in the grave. in the qabr. You start in the grave, alhamdulillah. Then inshallah on the day of resurrection, and then in Jannatul Firdaus. So that's life. There are so many people who have done amazing work and went through so many sacrifices, but they did not see the fruits of the sacrifice in their lifetime. But their generation did, their progeny did. Their progeny did. And they get all the sawab and the reward because they made the effort. So it's not necessary we always get to see everything in our lifetime. It could also be after, as long as we remain steadfast. That is the most important thing, because our duty and responsibility is, subhanAllah, is convey the message. Convey the message. Do what we can. Be strong. That is the most important thing. So Allah Ta'ala makes a mention here, إِنَّ الْبَاطِلَ كَانَ زَهُقًا. Indeed, false was bound to disappear. It could disappear in this world, but soon as the day of Qiyamah takes place, then everything will be disappearing. Then on the day of Qiyamah, everyone will realize what was the truth and what was falsehood. What was haq and what was batil. What was right and what was wrong. What was sahih and what was galat. There will be no ambiguity there. There will be no confusion there. Automatically people realize who are the people of haq and who are the people of batil. Allahu Akbar. Allah Ta'ala further on in verse 82 mentions, وَنُنَزِّلُ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ مَا هُوَ شِفَاءٌ وَرَحْمَةٌ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ. We have revealed such a Qur'an that is a cure, shifa, wa-rahmah, and a mercy for mankind. Qur'an al-Kareem is the shifa, is cure. Physical cure as well. Sometimes you get ill, recite the Qur'an. Certain verses of the Qur'an al-Kareem you recite and you do them upon yourself, that will inshallah cure you. Anybody? Huh? A group of sahaba were going to such a place and someone was very ill. I think it was a snake or something bit, and they were getting very ill, like a virus, whatever. But some sahaba were going past that tribe, that village, whatever, and they requested that, could you do something for this person, this individual who's going through this illness? Was Sahabi, he recited Surah Fatiha. After reciting Surah Fatiha, he did them. He blowed on, and alhamdulillah, he got shifa. He got shifa. In return, he even gave him some goats as well. Anybody? He had taken these goats. So he said, I don't know if I could take this or not, but let me ask the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he went to Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he said, this is what happened. Prophet said, what did you recite? He said, I said, recited Surah Fatiha, and then I blown upon him, and Allah granted him cure. Look at the words here. Allah granted him cure. Allah granted him cure. Subhanallah. Prophet did not object to that. Alhamdulillah. And what did you get? Because we got this in return. Have you got some for me as well? Have you reserved something for me as well? Subhanallah. So basically doing dumb, someone's ill. Subhanallah. Nothing wrong in that. Verses of the Quran are all shifa. And certain verses have special asar and impact. And that's why those people who are expert in this field, they will actually let us know and guide us which verse should be recited for what illness or whatever, through tajruba, through experience basically. So the whole Quran Kareem is shifa. Inshallah, the one we recite with the right intention, then that will be indeed will be shifa. Wa rahma is the mercy for mankind. The hidayat and the guidance in the Quran Kareem is a mercy for the whole of mankind. If we follow the Quran Kareem in every aspect of our lives, then this Quran Kareem will be a means of hidayat, will be a means of attracting the rahmat and the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's one thing. So we follow the Quran Kareem teachings in every aspect of our lives. Secondly, another way of gaining the mercy of Allah Ta'ala is when we recite constant Quran Kareem. Whenever we recite the Quran Kareem, the rahmat of Allah descends. The rahmat of Allah descends. So if you want the rahmat of Allah to descend abundantly upon us, recite the Quran Kareem constantly. Recite the Quran Kareem constantly. Yesterday we were looking at that program yesterday, mashallah, and those surgeons, why are we doing the actual surgery of those children, Allahu Akbar, they're reciting the Quran Kareem. Subhanallah, attracting the mercy, rahmatul lil mu'minin. Shifa as well, ma huwa shifa wa rahmah. Subhanallah, look at the iman, look at the level of iman, subhanallah. And the level of iman upon the Quran Kareem, just the Quran Kareem has the answers. Quran Kareem has shifa, Quran Kareem has rahmat and mercy. Just think, if every household is reciting Quran Kareem every day, subhanallah, every day, every morning, rahmat will be descending. That house where hadith is being recited, that house where Quran Kareem is being recited, that house is getting mercy and rahmat every day. And the pious people who understand, recognize this, they're unto that they'll be having by is ghar mein kuch barkat hai, rahmat hai, there's some barkat and rahmat in this house. They can tell their ibadat guzar people here, Quran is being recited, and subhanallah, hadith is being recited. Yesterday, Mufti Shabbisa, mashallah, in the company of the ulama mentioned, have the ibadat of hadith being recited. Because it adds a lot of barakah and blessings. Get one hadith kitab, read all that right from the beginning to the end. That will gain barakah as well. Because you are saying Durus Sharif constantly, reciting the hadith of Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How lucky we are in the house of Allah here as well. We have hadith being recited every day. Our students are learning hadith, Bukhari, Muslim, Tirmidhi, Mishkat Sharif every day. How lucky we are. And how lucky is that household where you have ulama and mashayikh and qurra teaching Quran Kareem as well, teaching hadith as well. And alhamdulillah, how lucky are those household and that homes, those homes that in the morning after Fajr Salah, we get to hear the recitation of the Quran Kareem in their homes. Anybody? People, some homes, mashallah, they don't have breakfast until everyone is reciting Quran Kareem. Or at least, come as come, Yasin Sharif. It brings about the rahmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Anybody? So it's very important, ghar ka mahol, the mahol in the house is very, very important. That is tilawat of Quran in the house. There's two amal that brings a lot of rahmat in the house, in Islamic mahol. One is the recitation of Quran Kareem. Obviously, namaz, we have to read namaz. We even have to pray namaz as well, it's first. One is the Quran recitation of Quran Kareem, and one is ta'lim. Two things will bring a lot of understanding of deen and rahmat and mercy and mahol. One is the recitation of Quran Kareem regularly, and one is ta'lim in the house. That brings barakah, that changes lives, that gives us right understanding of deen, that brings us closer to Allah and Rasul and the deen of Allah. You'll notice where those houses where this Quran Kareem tilawat taking place and those houses where this ta'lim taking place, look at the difference of that environment and to that environment where there's no tilawat of Quran, there's no ta'lim, zameen asman farak. There's difference, big difference. There's a big difference in their children, their approach, everything. But that can happen, it has to be from a very young age, very tender age, that in my people who are fikr for deen, they will make sure that in their homes there is ta'lim taking place. This ta'lim is not just something customary, it has so much ruh in it, essence in it, it has so much impact in it, it has so much asan in it. This is the most important thing. And tilawat al-Quran, we know tilawat al-Quran, angels of mercy descend all the time, subhanAllah. May Allah give us tawfiq. And then when there's constant recitation of Quran Kareem, it will be a shifa for everyone, spiritually as well, physically as well. وَلَا يَزِيدُ الظَّالِمِينَ إِلَّا خَسَارًا. It only increases the loss of the oppressors, meaning the kuffar have destroyed themselves and prepared their own places in Jahannam by completely rejecting the truth. This is the meaning of their loss. And their rejection of every verse of the Quran Kareem plunged them further into more destruction. Then further on, Allah that describes the ingratitude, the nashukri of human beings. He says, وَإِذَا أَنْعَمْنَا عَلَى الْإِنسَانِ. When we bestow favors upon man, أَعْرَضَ, he turns away, وَنَعَى بِجَانِبِهِ, and changing direction, meaning goes far, changing direction and goes far. وَإِذَا مَسَّهُ الشَّرُّ كَانَ يَعُوسًا. And when an adversity, any musibat or takleef or difficulty afflicts him, كَانَ يَعُوسًا, he becomes despondent. So then Allah Ta'ala makes a mention, قُلْ كُلٌّ يَعْمَلُ عَلَى شَاكِلَتِهِ. So every person practices in his own way. فَرَبُّكُمْ أَعْلَمُ بِمَنْ هُوَ أَهْدَى سَبِيلًا. Your Rabb knows best who is the most rightly guided. What does it mean here? It means that Allama Qurtubi rahmatullah stated that it basically means that every person acts in a way that is suited to his temperament and is in conformity with the traits and habits that he's accustomed to. So he said that this verse is therefore a praise for the believers and a slur to the kuffar who act according to their despicable traits and habits. On the other hand, the mu'mineen act according to the deen and will be rewarded for this in the hereafter. So mu'min, when he acts, it's all according to the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A kafir, a disbeliever, he acts according to his hate, his habits, his traits, his adat. Ha. Basically, our habit should be deen. Our habit should be the sunnah. Our habit should be the sunnah. Our whole lifestyle should be the sunnah. That is supposed to be our habit, basically. Our temperament should be according to the temperament of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When he was strict, that's why we should be strict. Where he was lenient, that's why we should be lenient. It's a balanced approach, not always lenient all the time, but there are times when you'll be strict, otherwise you are degrading the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why Allah says, لَا تَأْخُذْكُمْ بِهِمَا رَعْفَةٌ فِي دِينِ اللَّهِ. Do not be lenient regarding the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When Allah's command has sent, he had to be strict, then we should be strict. Guna is taking place and we remain silent, we are lenient, then that is wrong. May Allah Ta'ala give us a tawfiq. Further on, Allah Ta'ala makes a mention, وَيَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الرُّوحِ. They ask you about the soul, the ruh. قُلِ الرُّوحُ مِنْ أَمْرِ رَبِّي. Say, it is from the command of my Lord. وَمَا أُوتِيتُمْ مِنَ الْعِلْمِ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. What you have been granted is only a bit of knowledge. What you have been granted is only a bit of knowledge. First, I'm just going to briefly explain when this verse was revealed, regarding what background of the event. Then, inshallah, I'm going to go through a whole lesson on the ruh and the soul itself, inshallah. The journey of the soul, when it comes into the body, how he stays, when he's taken out. Then when a person dies, how does it connect with the body? How is the soul connected? Because the soul is taken out. So how does a person get reward in his qabr? How does he able to smell the fragrance in his qabr? How is he punished? Is he able to feel the taklif and the difficulty? Because the soul is not there, it's just a corpse, a body. So inshallah, I'll explain that as well, inshallah al-aziz. But bear this in mind, regarding all this and the ruh Allah mentions it very clearly, وَمَا أُوتِيتُ مِنَ الْعِلْمِ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. No one knows the reality of the soul. Only Allah Ta'ala knows. How it is connected, how it works, only Allah Ta'ala knows. Certain knowledge of certain things Allah has kept reserved for himself, not even any Nabi knows as well. So in regarding that, we just say, Amanna Saddaqna. We believe and we confirm. Allah said, is ruh, then is ruh. How, what's the nature, how is connected? Allah knows best. Anyway, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu reports that he was once walking with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam in the fields, while he was using a date branch as a walking stick. A group of Jews, Yahudis, passed by, and each told the other to ask Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam about the soul. Meaning, they knew in their scriptures as well, is mentioned regarding the soul. So they wanted to actually test Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. What answer does he give? If he says soul is this and that and whatever, that means he's lying. Because soul is such, ruh is such, only Allah Ta'ala knows. So they were going to test him. So they all then sat down to consult, basically, and whether who should pose the question. Because Rasulullah might give them a reply that they would not like. We do that, you know, have a meeting and you talk about who's going to ask the question first. Because this person, he gives very good solid answers. Or he's very, even if he's in the wrong, he knows how to give good answers. Sometimes like that. So you got to have the right man for the right job. Anybody? It's everywhere. So this is where they're doing as well. Because sometimes not everyone's cup of tea, basically. Anyway. That's why certain people got gift of the gab. So they can answer and they're so amazing, so eloquent. Even though he's in the wrong, you feel, am I in the wrong then? Even though they're in the wrong, you know, because that's how they do it. Anybody? It's a talent and a skill. People use it for the wrong reasons, unfortunately. Anyway, khair. If you're a politician, then you know how to do it. They're actually taught basically this. So finally, they asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and Prophet remained silent. He did not reply. Okay, if you're a prophet, tell us about the ruh. Tell us about the soul. What is the reality of the ruh? What is the reality of the soul? He remained silent. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, narrating this hadith, says that he anticipated that wahi and revelation was being sent to the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So Abdullah ibn Mas'ud said, I also remained where I was. I stayed. Thereafter Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam recited the above verse, وَيَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الرُّوحِ قُلِ الرُّوحُ مِنْ أَمْرِ رَبِّي وَمَا أُوتِيتُم مِنَ الْعِلْمِ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. Meaning, O Prophet, they're asking you about the ruh. Tell them by, it is a command from my Rabb that there is a law, there is ruh and there is soul, but the knowledge I've been given very little. Basically, I do not know the knowledge about this. I don't know the nature of the ruh. Only Allah Ta'ala knows. Anybody? Allahu Akbar. Imam Tirmidhi reports from Abdullah ibn Abbas that the Quraysh asked the Jews for a question that they could pose to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, by which his prophethood can be verified. They advised that he asked about the soul. When they asked this question, the above verse was revealed. But obviously, these did not want to know the truth. So even Prophet gave the right answer, they were not ready to believe. You know, some people you just don't like. So no matter how good they are, you're just not ready to accept it. No matter even how truth, haq, we're not ready to accept. But you already made our mind up already. So this is how these people were as well. They just want to make it difficult, that's all. There's many other hadith related to the ruh and the soul. Inshallah, we'll continue. Inshallah, next week. May Allah give us tawfiq. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi. Subhanakallah wa bihamdika. Subhanakallah wa bihamdika.